Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Well, all right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on KSBT 1400 AM in somewhat sunny Sandpoint, as well as 1450 AM KBFI in always beautiful Bonner's Ferry. It's Thursday. We're here in North Idaho, so we call this North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and we've got another good show for you today. First up, we'll have our weekly Bonner General Health Update today. Dr. Mark Torres joins us once again. He was with us several months ago, and he'll be talking about his ophthalmology department. He is the only registered ophthalmologist in the general area, and he'll tell us what's the difference between ophthalmology and optometry and so on. Always a good time to talk to Dr. Mark Torres. Also today, Shane, who we just heard from in a commercial, from North Idaho Collision, is with us once again. He'll be talking about what to do after you've been involved in an accident, and if you have a choice on where to get your auto body repair work done and how all that works. I'm a little confused about it myself, so he'll clear all that up for us. And also today, I believe it's going to be Nancy Dooley from 101 Women. She's also with the Sandpoint Lacrosse people, but she'll be talking about scholarships available to nonprofits. So always interesting to learn about that, and we'll probably talk a little lacrosse as well. This weekend, they're going to be talking Gun and Horns at the Gun and Horns Show, brought to you by the Bonner County Sportsmen Association. It's happening at the Bonner County Fairgrounds tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow, doors open at noon, go to 6 p.m. Saturday 9 to 6, Sunday 9 to 3. Just $5 for admission. Kids are free. And a weekend pass is available for you can get it on Friday. Go all 3 days if you want for just $10. So that is going on this weekend. What's going on over at the Senior Center? Well, if you know a senior in our area who doesn't have internet access or is just not really into today's technology, they need help registering for the COVID vaccine. But I should have gotten it by now. But if they're having trouble just getting in touch and getting an appointment, please have them contact the Sandpoint Senior Center, 263-6860. There are volunteers there standing by to assist seniors with the registration process. It's super easy once you've got your appointment done, and it's running very smoothly at BGH. So I suggest everybody do it. And seniors, you can call Bonner General directly if you'd like, 263-1441, and you can register that way, 263-1441, or better yet, call the Senior Center, 263-6860, and they can give you a hand. Also, great news for you folks who like to hang out at the Sandpoint Senior Center. They are reopening for in-house dining. Boy, how long has it been? In-house dining starts this Monday. As, of course, here in Idaho, we are in phase three of our recovery process. But numbers are limited to 40 people, okay? So you can't just show up like you used to back in the olden days. You must call ahead and reserve your seat. So, again, walk-ins will not be accommodated. The grab-and-go program, by the way, will continue to go on and see how that goes once inside seating has come back. So if it continues to be successful, they'll keep grabbing and going. As usual, you call ahead to reserve your pickup meal and then swing by the center and pick it up. And again, that phone number to reserve your spot for indoor seating or starting Monday, limited to 40, or for your grab-and-go meal, call 263-6860. What else is going on? Well, the East Bonner County Library is having a live Facebook event with the local author Ken Fishman from his humorous memoir called Brooklyn Boy. It starts at noon. And, that happened. Darn it, that happened on Tuesday. I've got old news here in front of me. Who writes for this show? Jeez Louise. So you missed that. But you can go on the Bonner County Library, East Bonner County Library's Facebook page or website and see that special presentation. What else is going on? Ben Baker, Allie Thomas, and Sheldon Packwood are playing at the Pondere Winery. Music tomorrow evening. There's jazz at Idaho Poor Authority Friday evening, 6 to 8. And let's see, what else have we got going on? It's free first Saturday, this Saturday, at the Bonner County Historic History Museum, located in Lakeview Park. It'll be going on from 10 until 2. This month's event is sponsored by Jack and Colleen Filipowski. For more information on anything going on with them, it is bonnercountyhistory.org, bonnercountyhistory.org. Okay, we are going to take our first break. When we come back, Dr. Mark Torres from Bonner General Hospital is with us talking about ophthalmology and what they do there. We also have Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair with us from Bonner's Ferry. He should be making his way in here shortly. And also on today's show, Nancy Dooley, or another representative from 101 Women, will join us and let us know about their scholarship opportunities for people to get donated to your cause or organization. We'll get to all of that right after this.
The Pondere Winery is coming into March like a lion this year by offering our recent gold medal winning 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon as our wine of the month. This beautiful wine demonstrates a true taste of Washington fruit from three uniquely different parts of the state, harmoniously blended together to create a party for your taste buds. As always, our talented kitchen staff continues to turn out delicious bites that pair perfectly with all of our wine offerings. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 12 to 8, and all of the month's events and music can be found on our website at powine.com. Come taste the passion at the Pondere Winery.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Pondere. 208-263-6820.
Jason, a COVID survivor from Twin Falls.
I honestly didn't take COVID seriously. I felt a mask wouldn't really protect me. Then I got sick. It completely knocked me out. I was out for weeks. My family was terrified. COVID isn't just a flu. COVID is no joke. Now I choose to wear a mask to protect myself and protect others. So hopefully other Idahoans don't have to experience what I did.
Learn more at one.idaho.gov.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
All right, we are back here in North Idaho Thursday, and it's our weekly visit with Bonner General Health. And joining us for the second time, I believe, in the last year, Dr. Mark Torres from the ophthalmology department. Mark, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you back, and I appreciate all of the doctors and everybody at BGH for joining us every week here on Thursdays to kind of give us an update on what's going on. What's going on in your department?
Things have moved pretty well for us this last year, even though we tried to get going during the COVID situation, which created some challenges. It slowed us down opening up the ophthalmology clinic itself, but we were still able to kind of get things rolling, and so we're open at full speed now and seeing patients and started doing surgery late last summer. So gotcha. That's moving forward as well too. So we're currently able to do what Bonner brought us on board to do, and that's to provide eye healthcare and eye surgery.
So, Dr. Torres, you're the only practicing ophthalmologist in the greater Sandpoint area. And before I ask you why you're the only one, can you explain what the difference between ophthalmology and optometry is?
Sure. The main differences are they're probably not really significant. There's a little bit of a difference in the educational process of becoming an optometrist versus becoming an ophthalmologist. And then the main difference is probably just in the extent of what individuals are trained to do. Optometrists are probably what most people are familiar with, because when somebody needs a pair of glasses or contact lenses, that's who you want to go to see. They're the ones who are experts at providing that service. And so, you know, I would let individuals in the community know that if your eyes are otherwise healthy and all you need is a pair of glasses or contact lenses or an update to your glasses and contact lenses, then starting off with your optometrist is the place to go. In addition to that, a community like Sandpoint, where previously the nearest ophthalmologist was Coeur d'Alene or Spokane, the optometrists in this type of a community will be very capable at providing what you would call primary eye care. So they can diagnose and treat the initial stages of a lot of potential eye diagnoses or conditions. Typically, an ophthalmologist is used when the level of a diagnosis gets to a point where the patient just needs a little bit more specialized attention, either medically or if patients need eye surgery. So ophthalmologists are trained to be eye surgeons as well. So that's the main distinction between the two specialties.
So do you do the LASIK surgery?
I did the LASIK surgery in the military, quite a bit of it. LASIK surgery is a cosmetic procedure outside of the military. The military looks at it a little bit differently, but outside of the military, it's a cosmetic procedure, and that's currently not something that we're focusing on at Bonner. The main demand in this area for ophthalmology services is cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. So, you know, providing that service to our elderly population so that they don't have to travel to Spokane or Coeur d'Alene to get those services. There are very good LASIK resources available nearby in Coeur d'Alene and then also in Spokane. And so folks who are interested in having that done, they are more than welcome to come and see us at Bonner Ophthalmology. We do have the capability and the technology to screen them and to at least let them know if they're a good candidate, potentially a good candidate for the laser eye surgery before they travel, you know, to a location where they may want to look into having that done. So we're perfectly happy to do a preliminary assessment for them and let them know if they might be a good candidate for the procedure.
Before you go out of town.
And then we know who the surgeons are, the ophthalmic surgeons that do the LASIK procedure. We know those practices, and we'll be happy to refer those patients to one of those practices to have the procedure done.
And you've been an ophthalmologist for a long time. Did you ever think LASIK surgery would become this big and be so successful for so many people? I mean, it's amazing to me, the people that I've known whose eyesight was horrible most of their lives, they go and get it done. It's like, I don't need glasses.
Right. And I've actually kind of more or less seen the whole generational span of that procedure and that technology.
I used to have to go to Canada.
Right. I was just coming into ophthalmology in the 1990s when it was really starting to gain traction and become popular. And I was in the military for the whole process of it actually getting started in the military and turning into a fairly valuable and you know, pretty frequently done procedure in all of the military services. So I've kind of watched, I've definitely watched that transformation. Interestingly enough, the COVID pandemic has created this silver lining, you know, for lack of a better term, for laser eye surgery. Because what's happened is, as people have started to have to wear masks, their eyewear fogs up. So their glasses fog up. But more importantly, individuals whose occupation requires them to wear either eye protection or wear a face shield, the mask fogging up can be an occupational hazard or a safety hazard. And so there's been this wave of individuals going to get the laser eye surgery within the last year, primarily due to the COVID pandemic, because the wearing of the mask has caused their eyewear to fog up and they've become frustrated with that. And so there's a lot of individuals that are seeking out that particular surgery for what somebody ahead of time never thought would make sense and be a reason. So a little bit of a silver lining in the whole situation.
Yeah, there've been several little things like that, like, yeah, we really can work from home, or
exactly
just things
sure.
like, you know, or sure. just become more aware of sanitation and wearing a mask in airports and grocery stores, and like the common flu is almost non-existent. People are reporting fewer and fewer common colds this year just because people are more aware. It's such a weird year.
Oh, definitely.
So you mentioned the military a couple of times. You were retired after 30 years of service in the Army. Tell us about your military career.
I had such a long kind of extensive career in the military. Initially, due to educational obligations, I kind of used resources from the military service to fund my way through college and then also through medical school. And then I was able to get my ophthalmology training in the military as well. And so all of that sort of added up to a fairly, you know, extended obligation of time. The military likes to take time instead of money.
Yeah.
As opposed to paying back a loan. They'd rather have years than dollars.
Sure.
But for someone who probably never expected that I would spend that much time in the military, it just worked out that way. I kept finding things to do that were fun. They kept giving me jobs to do that were fun and interesting, and it kept it fresh as I went along. And before I knew it, I was, you know, 30 years into the game.
Yeah.
But then just basically started to, you know, feel the effects of a lot of things, like getting older and trying to keep up with what is typically occupationally, the military is typically a young individual's profession, young men, young women, the majority of them, you know, teens, 20s, 30s. And so, as you get a little bit older after 30 years, trying to keep up with the youngsters gets to be a little more challenging.
Tell me about it. So did you get to like move around the country or the world, live in places you had never...
I did. And as we like to say in the military, some of them are fun and then some of them are not. So I was able to visit some overseas places like Europe. I was stationed in Europe for a fairly extended period of time. But then, of course, you know, if you stay in the military long enough, you're going to get the mission essential sort of places. So, you know, some of the conflicts that have taken place over the last 30 years, I've participated in those. And then for probably the last several years, I spent most of the end of my career over in Washington State, you know, at Fort Lewis, which is in the Puget Sound region. And so I was pretty close to the area here, to Sandpoint, and used to come over here fairly frequently, mainly for, you know, recreation, summer and winter recreation, and was already very familiar with the area and liked it a great deal. And so when I retired from the military and Bonner was looking for an ophthalmologist, it was just a luck of the draw, win-win situation all the way around. I was looking for an afterlife, career following military retirement. They were looking for an ophthalmologist, and the stars aligned, and here we are, making it happen.
It's a great fit, and it's a great team they have at BGH, and you just fit right in with everybody else. So you got to be as happy as can be.
I am. I would have to say that. For some individuals in the military, especially individuals who've been in the military for a long time, you know, the transition to, you know, what we call civilian life, can be challenging. You kind of get used to the military way of life and kind of the military system, and you don't realize how little you know about being, you know, a normal non
your own.
a normal non-military person.
Right.
But I would have to say that that transition, at least here in Sandpoint, and with Bonner General Health, has been very smooth, much smoother than I would have anticipated ahead of time. So things are working out wonderfully.
Great. A couple more questions, but back to the eyes themselves. So if somebody's listening who's never needed glasses, as far as they know, they have 20/20. Is there something they could do to keep that? I mean, are there exercises or things you should not do to hurt your eyes? Or I mean, especially as you get older.
Sure, sure. There's always just some good baseline recommendations, like there are with other, you know, systems that involve the body. You know, first of all, I would encourage folks to get regular eye exams, even if they have normal eyes. It's a good idea to have a good eye exam every 1 or 2 years, to include children. You know, I think sometimes the younger population, I think our children, eye exams for them get overlooked. And, you know, we sometimes see children who are struggling in school, and
They just don't know that their eyes aren't
right. Right. Yeah. And they have trouble, you know, they have trouble seeing things in the classroom. And, you know, it's interesting how you can chase around, you know, potential causes for that before somebody realizes that it's just their eyes. They just needed a good pair of glasses, you know, to be able to see well, and that, you know, that will boost their performance. So, you know, I would definitely encourage parents, you know, to get in the habit of having their children's eyes examined on a regular basis. And an ophthalmologist can do that. An optometrist can do that. So that's probably just, you know, like a lot of other things that we encourage people to do, is just get regular checkups. In addition to that, the same things that are beneficial to the body are beneficial to the eyes. You know, eat a good, well-balanced diet. It doesn't have to be geared towards anything in specific. As long as it's healthy and well-balanced. Smoking, like a lot of other things, we encourage people not to smoke.
Of course.
So if you smoke, try to quit. If you don't smoke, don't start. And then, believe it or not, sunglasses. You know, we live in the Rocky Mountains at altitude, and the sun, even in the wintertime, the sun, you know, the ultraviolet radiation from the sun is bright. And ultraviolet radiation can definitely cause, kind of slow wear and tear on the eyes. It's not something that's going to cause a problem acutely, but over time, you know, a lot of sun exposure can speed up, you know, the progression of cataracts, in folks that are starting, you know, to develop cataracts. It can make them, you know, move along a little bit quicker. And then it's just like we try to protect our skin from sun damage, you know, protecting the tissues of the eye from sun damage. So just a good pair of sunglasses that have ultraviolet protection. They don't have to be fancy or expensive. You know, if you just check the label, it'll tell you if it's protective against UV radiation. And if it is, that's all you need.
Very good. So being in the ophthalmology department, can people contact you directly, or do you need to go to your primary care physician or to an optometrist first? Then they think, hey, you know, you ought to go see this guy.
Yeah, sure. So all of those ways are ways to access our services and our specialty. First of all, I would say that the majority of the patients that we see are typically patients who have been seen by their optometrist first, and then their optometrist has referred them to us for something specific. So that's probably the majority of patients, and that's probably the route that I would encourage patients to take. Simply because if they see an optometrist who can, you know, basically take care of whatever their needs are, you know, with their specialty, you know, either just, you know, glasses, contact lenses, or even making the initial diagnosis of something, they may be able to manage it and treat it without having the patient have to see multiple providers. We do have some of our patients that are referred to us by their primary care provider, so that is another route for accessing our specialty and our services. There are some patients who do require annual or regular eye exams as part of management of their other medical conditions. Diabetes is a good example. One of the criteria for successfully managing diabetes for primary care providers is to make sure that a diabetic has their annual eye exam. Mm-hmm. And so that's an example of how an individual would access our services, through their primary care provider. And then we do have individuals that refer themselves directly to our service, and they can do that as well too. A good example of that would be, say, an individual who's new to the Sandpoint area, already knows that they have, eye diagnoses or things that need to be taken care of and managed. And so they've relocated, they know what an ophthalmologist is, they've used one before, they just need to find one that's local. And so we have patients that access us that way as well. So all of those avenues are open to patients to make our services available to them.
Very good. Dr. Mark Torres from the Ophthalmology Department at Bonner General. And for find out more about him and his services or anything going on at BGH, just go to bonnergeneral.org. Mark, great to see you again. Thanks for joining us, and we'll do it again sometime.
Thanks so much. I've enjoyed it.
All right. We're going to take our second break, and North Idaho Thursday will continue right after this.
Pace Kirby Insurance and Real Estate has been serving Boundary County for over 100 years, and they've built their reputation through good service, honesty, and stability. Come to Pace Kirby in downtown Bonners Ferry for insurance of all kinds, life insurance, supplemental health, and also Safeco Auto Insurance. Pace Kirby also sells real estate, including acreage, both large and small, farms, timberland, and creek and river property. Call 267-3123. That's 267-3123 for Pace Kirby, when experience counts.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Sweet Lou's is the place to dine and watch sports, and it's also the place for the best steaks around. Sweet Lou's only serves certified Angus beef, rated in the top 6% of beef available. It has unrivaled flavor, juiciness, and tenderness, and all of their steaks are hand-cut daily for ultimate freshness. Stop in or order online to go or for curbside pickup at sweetlouisidaho.com. Open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week and located on Highway 95 in Pend Oreille and on Front Avenue in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Come hungry, stay late, eat well. Sweet Lou's.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
All right, we are back here in North Idaho Thursday, joined once again with our good friend Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair, Bonners Ferry. He brought along his technician, Steve, today. And how are you guys?
Good, thanks for asking.
Great. Yeah. Is it as nice in Bonners Ferry today as it is down here?
It's definitely beautiful out. The drive was super nice.
Oh, good. So, Shane, tell us about North Idaho Collision. I know you were on a few months ago, and we were talking about your business. You're just north of Bonners?
Yeah, up on top of the North Hill. It's a little tucked away, but great spot.
Yeah, got to get real close to that. Yeah, it's beautiful up there, too. And so you guys were talking in your last ad that I heard on the radio here, you were talking about insurance. And, if you get – well, first of all, before we even get to that, say I get in a traffic accident when I leave the studio here this afternoon, what should I do?
Well, generally the first thing you're going to do is call your insurance company and let them know that you got in an accident, as long as everybody's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we come in here, because when you call your insurance company right after an accident, they're going to make sure you're okay. And then they're kind of ask you about body shops or tell you about body shops. And a lot of times they'll want to steer you towards one of the what they call direct repair shops. And this is where I caution people about having the insurance company direct you to the shop, because generally the insurance company is going to steer you there because they have a contract with that shop to where they do the job cheaper. And that's mm-hmm. really what it's all about. That's why they contract it for, because that shop signs contracts to fix the car for cheaper, which means aftermarket parts, used parts, labor rate, lower labor rates and stuff. But it's all designed to save the insurance company money.
So here's the zillion-dollar question. When they say go to XYZ collision repair, do you have to?
No, it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. And
will the insurance company still cover it then?
They definitely will still cover it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And we have a great working relationship with all insurance companies, but they know that we're a quality shop. And it's not that it really costs them any or a lot more to have it fixed at our shop, but it's just a better job.
Well, as you also mentioned in your last ad that if you're crash your Toyota, you're going to get Toyota parts, etc.
We use all OEM parts, whether the insurance company pays for aftermarket parts or not. My vendors will price match those parts.
Mm.
And some of the times I eat the little smaller parts and stuff to eat the difference between there. But our job is to put it back to pre-accident condition. And it's not pre-accident condition if you just smashed your original equipment
mm-hmm.
parts and we put aftermarket parts on there. They don't last. The corrosion protection is different, and it can void your warranty, and most of the time does void your warranty.
Well, that makes perfect sense. So you have this guy to your right here, Steve, and he came from Massachusetts, now lives in North Idaho. Steve, how do you like it here, and how did you end up here?
I love it here. I think it's fantastic. My wife and I are having a great time.
He's grinning from ear to ear, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. We ended up here. We just needed a change in general, you know. We lived in Mass our whole lives, and, you know, we needed something different. We wanted something different, and I think we made the right choice, you know.
Yeah. So are you a football fan?
Yep.
Root for Tom Brady this year.
Of course I did.
Okay. That's how you know he's a real Patriots fan.
Right?
Well, I found a way to root for somebody else. Anyway, so Steve, what do you do at North Idaho Collision Repair?
I'm the collision tech. So you get in an accident and I'm the one that fixes it.
Gotcha. Yep. So then what does Shane do if you're the guy who fixes the cars?
Watch him.
Shane's wrong. Yeah, make sure I don't do anything wrong.
So tell us about how do you become a tech like that? How do you learn your trade?
Oh, well, I've been in it for about 20 years now. I started by washing cars in a shop and just worked my way up.
And watching older guys doing this type of thing and saying,
yeah, learning
someday
what
I want
to
be that guy.
Do.
Yeah, what not to do. Like use aftermarket parts.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier for the tech too, by the way.
Oh, that would make sense that they fit just right. You don't have to you know, make any adjustments and things like that. So, Shane, what else do you guys do there besides you know, the insurance claims and such?
Well, first I want to mention what an incredible sure. tech that Steve is and how blessed we are to have him. He is top-notch in any state that he's in, for sure. But we're just so thankful to have him because the quality is 100% every time.
And he's right there in Bonner's Ferry.
Yeah, right here in Bonner's Ferry.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're really grateful. As far as, you know, we are a collision center. So we do auto body and paint, of course. But there's so much to these cars now with the electronics. So we're all trained on how to calibrate all this kind of stuff, all the different things, and have all the proper equipment to get it done too. We're an iCar certified shop, which means a lot of money for a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we know how to fix them correctly. 20 of my 30 years experience was spent working on Jaguars and Bentleys and Mercedes and stuff like that. So we know what quality is.
Sure.
And we try to bring that to everything we do.
Yeah, you know, good point about the technology in automobiles these days. I mean, I'm old, so I grew up in an age, you know, I had Volkswagen vans where it was the most basic, simple, air-cooled, teeny little engine that was anybody could figure out how to work on it. And then all of a sudden they were talking, you know, I'd buy a newer Toyota or something, and they were talking about the car's computer. And I'm going, wait, time out. There's a computer in there? Yeah, just things like that. It's got to be like constantly re-educating yourself.
Yeah.
And it changes every year,
yeah,
more and more every year.
Is it all for the better? I mean, is it easier to diagnose repairs and such?
No, it's much more difficult, to tell you the truth. But if you have the right equipment, then then it's good. But it just, some of the smaller body shops that are body shops that don't keep up with the equipment and stuff like that, you're going to start to see that go away because it's super expensive for the equipment. And it's crucial because not only do they have all these electronics, but they're all made of high-strength steel too now. And so if we repair a car that has structural damage on it, we have to pull the repair procedures from the manufacturer of how that gets welded back. It has to be welded back a certain way with a certain amount of welds, and it tells us exactly how to do that. And it's all about heat. The high-strength steel can't handle heat. And if you put too much heat to it, or if you fix it in an incorrect manner, it won't crash the same because cars are all built to crash out and around the passenger compartment. And the technology in that is fantastic, but they have to be put back correctly.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting stuff. So are you limited to just people from the Bonners Ferry area coming to your shop, or do they come from Clark Fork and Sandpoint? And
we started to get some clientele from Sandpoint more and more all the time. As you know, we advertise the all original equipment parts. And so that's been a big draw from Sandpoint. And now from Libby, because the shops over there are booked out a long time, and people don't want to wait 2 months to get their car repaired, so they bring them over from Libby. And so we're expanding out. We're only 3 years old, so it has taken a little bit to expand outside of the Bonners Ferry area. But we have a nice reputation. If you look online, you can see that we go out of our way for customers on a daily basis.
So speaking of looking online, how do you do that?
CarWise is a really, so every estimate that we write or fix the car, CarWise sends that person a review. So it's carwise.com, and I think we have 70 reviews on there. And we have a 5-star rating. But it's important to investigate the body shop. Like I said, the insurance company wants to send you to a shop. It's fine if you choose that shop, but investigate it first. You know, make sure it's all, and ask your friends.
And then do you have your own website too, so people can just come and learn about you guys?
Yeah, it's northautocollision.com.
And your phone number?
It's 208-267-9995.
208-267-9995. Really easy to remember if you can remember Highway 95. There you go.
Yeah.
Steve, you see anything new coming in the collision repair coming up in the near future here? Or?
Oh, I mean, everything's changing. You know, with the electric cars and, you know.
More and more, like, was it Volvo the other day announcing they're going all electric in just a few years? And
yeah, I think GM said that too. By 2035 or something, they're going to have zero emission cars. And but that's where some of that training, the iCar training, comes in. It's helpful, especially for me because I have to work on them, you know. So it's helpful to go through that training.
And to stay up with all of that.
Stay up with all of it.
God, you just imagine how mechanics are going to change when it's all electric. It's
also mandated by 2025 across the product line. They have to average 50 miles per gallon.
Oh, gotcha.
So the only way they can do it is with electric cars. That's why you see the big push now.
I know. Me and our engineer, we're looking at each other going, what? In our lifetimes?
Also,
this is all happening?
Talking about technology, next year, every new model year will have forward crash prevention in it, too.
Good to know. Shane, Steve, North Idaho Collision Repair, thanks for being back on the show. And I know Savannah's waiting for you in the other room, so we'll let you get to that. And then we'll get you back in here in another couple months.
Thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, Nancy Dooley will be joining us. She's with 101 Women. And if they have nonprofit organizations encouraged to apply for their $10,000 grant they're offering, we'll learn more about that right after this.
University of Idaho Vandal football team opened its spring sports season in fine fashion, taking down Eastern Washington last weekend. The Vandals look to make it 2-0 this week when they hit the road, head to California, and take on UC Davis. Don't miss a minute of the action as the Vandals take on the Aggies with the pregame show along the Vandal Sports Network at 11, kickoff at noon here on North Idaho's Radio, 1400 KSBT, 1450 KBFI, and 97.1 FM.
Jim and Sonny from Parker Subaru, cruising North Idaho in a new Subaru Crosstrek. There's an excursion up a dirt trail for some weekend camping sound appealing? The off-road ready Subaru Crosstrek could be for you. you'll find control, handling, and confidence when off-road, back trail, or in winter storms because the Subaru Symmetrical All-Wheel Drive system delivers. In the Northwest, that's important.
Subaru owners, it's Parker Subaru Free Spring Ski Day, Friday, March 12th at Lookout Pass. Stop in the dealership for your free voucher. Here's another bonus. If you buy a season's pass for next year at Lookout, you can ski the rest of this year for free. So come to this Subaru A Lot to Love event and start your journey down a road where the adventures, trust, and value last. Now, for a limited time, get a great deal on the Subaru you love.
Cruise in and finish your research with a hands-on test drive. Get all the answers at your no-problem Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
More than a dealership, Finley supports athletics, competitiveness, and camaraderie. Yes, we're talking about everything leading up to the big game. And what better way to watch that game than on a brand new big screen TV? With every new Jeep purchase during Finley Start Something New sales event, you get a 65-inch 4K smart TV, plus 0% interest for 84 months on select models. Visit Finley Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Post Falls at the I-90 Autoplex or online at FinleyPostFalls.com.
0% APR on approved credit. 65-inch TV retail value $799. See dealer for complete details.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, we are back, our final segment here on North Idaho Thursday, and we are joined on the phone right now with our good friend Nancy Dooley. Nancy, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. You're cutting out a little bit right there, but hopefully we can... Oh, there you go. And you are, you know, you've been on the show for Idaho Conservation League. We've talked about the Ponderay Bay Trail for years, Bay Trail Fun Run, and different things. Today you're here to talk about the local group 101 Women. What is 101 Women, and what exactly do you guys do?
Well, it's just what it says it is. It's a group of 101 women who have gotten together to leverage their money to provide a larger grant that goes out to area nonprofits. So any nonprofit in Bonner County can apply for one of our $10,000 grants. And we give out two different $10,000 grants each year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And so it's really great. It works for two reasons. One, you don't have to be a big donor to make a big difference in our community. So 101 women have gotten together, and they each donate $200 a year, and that turns into $20,000 in grants for everyone. So we also have each cycle is a little bit different. Our spring cycle, which is the one we're in, and we're open now, so nonprofits can go to our website, 101womensandpoint.org, and click on the grant criteria and apply online. So a simple process. And this spring, the grant cycle is for essential services. So it covers anyone who works on basic needs. Some of the past winners include cancer services or food for our children, food bank. Those kind of people are ones that should apply for this cycle. And then the fall, any other nonprofit in the area can apply. And those would be things like for environmental groups or arts, recreation, sports, academic, literacy programs, that kind of thing.
So will the spring always be essential businesses?
Yeah. Yep, we used to do it all, everyone at one time, but it seemed like it made it a little more fair to kind of group the basic needs folks together and then have the other groups together. And it was easier for the grant committee to try to pick someone out of that group. So how the process works is a nonprofit in Bonner County fills out the grant application. Then our grant committee, which is made up of some of those 101 women, review the applications, use a point system to apply on each grant. The winners with the highest points come out, and they get asked there's three winners, to present at our meeting. We have two meetings a year, and we used to have it in person. And so it gives these three nonprofits a chance to speak to 101 women. And then their task is then to take what they learned about these nonprofits and spread the word about them.
Is there a second place prize at all?
No, and you know, we've gone back and forth about that for a long time, but no, we're just sticking with our simple process of one $10,000 grant each twice a year. and for each meeting that we have. And then the other two do not, they come away with nothing, unfortunately, but they do, they have educated quite a few people in our community, and they end up a lot of times having some of those people donate to them anyway, because they're all such worthwhile groups.
And just making them more aware, there's so many, I think it was like 158 active nonprofits in and around Bonnard County. It's a lot. And we thank God for all of them that we have such a giving community. And you guys, you just answered like every question I had about 101 women. I didn't know where how you raised your money, but you guys come up with it yourselves and distribute it to other nonprofits. I think that's commendable. 101 women, what do you do if somebody drops out or moves away? Do you have to go recruit one more?
Yes. So that's the nice thing is that we have a waiting list. And so people can just, so I'm glad that we're doing this little show, because not only do I want nonprofits to be applying and learn about these grant cycles, but also we want people in the community to want to be a part of our group. So it's always moving. People move in and out of the group. It's not a stationary group at all. And so we're always looking for new members. And so someone might join for a year or two and then move on to another, you know, nonprofit. Like you said, there's 151 of them. So there's always different groups that people are giving time to or money to. And that's great because so many of them are all of them really are super worthwhile.
And I know when some new nonprofits start out and then they think, well, you know, filling out a grant, writing a grant, just sometimes you actually need to hire a grant writer because there's a real skill to it. Your grant application, is it that complex?
No, not at all. That's the whole premise of our group is to keep it simple. Just get a group of people together, donate some money, and then give it to a nonprofit. So there's no overhead. And the grant application is simple. It asks some of those normal questions, you know, like how... what do you do? What are you going to do with the money? What's the budget for it? How much do you need? How, you know, what's your organization set up? That kind of thing, just to make sure that they're fiscally responsible groups that are 501c3. So that's the one requirement, is that you are a true nonprofit, tax-deductible nonprofit. So all the money goes there. And the nice thing about our group is that many times when people, it's really hard to get funding for any kind of salaries. And we don't have any limitations on that. Somebody wants to use some of the money to help pay for the salary for a person who's working for the group. We're fine with that.
Well, that's great. It's a wonderful thing you guys do. A lot of new people to our area in this last year in particular. If someone's hearing this today, saying, "Boy, I'd like to be a part of that organization. That sounds wonderful." Again, where do they go to apply for that? And what is like the time commitment for each one of these 101 women?
Well, that's the other thing. It's super simple. You can attend or not attend the two meetings that we have a year. We were doing it in person, but lately, since COVID, we were just doing a Zoom online. So right now for the spring grant, we're just going to watch the presentations of the three nonprofits, and then you just vote on a simple online website that we go to. And then when we go back to in-person meetings, we meet at the Heartwood Center, and how we organize it is that half the group brings some drinks, the other half brings some food for, you know, each grant cycle. So that's a nice little, it's almost like a party. And if you can, you can bring it. If not, you don't have to. It's super relaxed. And then we listen to the three presentations. And it's about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's quick. We have a time clock going, and we keep everybody on task. There's a mingle before you vote, and then we always hear also from the winner of the last grant cycle, so we can see what they've done with the money and how it's going. And so it's a real feel-good all the way around for the nonprofits and the women that are involved in the group. It's just this really great little, you know, win-win situation for everybody.
And it sounds like you get together a lot less than a lot of nonprofit organizations, some of which can be very demanding of people's time. So again, if you are a nonprofit and you are one of the essential business or nonprofits in the spring, or one of the more like entertainment-wise in the fall, and you could use $10,000 grant from 101 Women, you can go to 101womensandpoint.org, 101womensandpoint.org. Nancy Dooley, thanks for joining us today. I'll have to get you back on sometime as we head into spring, talk about lacrosse.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yep. On my way to practice right now.
We'll go get them. Thanks for joining us. And okay, that's going to be right. It for today. We'll be back in here next week. We will have our Ricky's Top 10 on Wednesday, then back in here Thursday with our Bonner General update and more. Till then, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonner's Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint.